Shalom Aleichem, I hope everything is well. This is Yosef Bronstein re-recording a shiur that I discussed to give to the Avreichim of Machon Zimra Ta'aretz on the topic of Torah's Eretz Yisrael in the thought of Rav Kook. So Emirat Hashem is going to be an ongoing series that will be looking at different aspects of learning methodology, of curriculum, the experience of Talmud Torah that Rav Kook describes under the headings of Torah's Eretz Yisrael as opposed to Torah's Chatzaretz, as partially continuation of, but also as opposed to Torah's Chatzaretz. So in the first year, we described in general terms that Rav Kook described Torah's Eretz Yisrael as a Torah of Chiburim, a Torah of Ichud, a Torah of unifying disparate disciplines and disparate modalities into a single unified Torah, so it's reflective of the unity of Hashem, Vayabiyomahu Hashem Achad Ushmo Achad. And then we discussed one Chibur that Rav Kook discusses, which is the Chibur between traditional Beis Medrash learning, Brisker Lamdos, you could say, and the what is happening, what happened and is happening in the academic world, which is where halacha and Torah is more contextualized within a specific historical context or setting, so that you can understand what it meant for the people on the ground, not just as abstract truths, which it, of course, it also is. In this segment, we're going to be describing a different ichud, a different chibur that Rav Kook was advocating for, and that is the chibur between Torah Shebaktav and Torah Shebaal Peh, and more specifically, we're going to be looking at one aspect of Torah Shebaktav and one aspect of Torah Shebaal Peh. And Emirat Hashem, next week, we'll be focusing on a different aspect of Torah Shebaktav and Torah Shebaal Peh. So just to begin, just to see a source where Rav Kook describes the need to be miyachi, to bring together Torah Shebaktav and Torah Shebaal Peh, and then after the source, we'll become more specific. And that is, there's the first source in the sheet, Eretz HaKodesh Chelek Aleph Amud Chaf Dalet. This is part of a section in Eretz HaKodesh that deals with epistemology, how we know what we know, and the ways of studying, the ways of learning, the ways of understanding knowledge. And this is an entire section with it, that the notes are organized, which is about understanding the interconnections between various disciplines that seem at first glance to be disparate and separated from each other. So Rav Kook writes as follows: Ruach HaKodesh shel Nevuah, the Ruach HaKodesh of Nevuah, the Yichud shel Asmak Ma'ariyah Me'ira, she Nevuah HaTorah, and particularly the higher levels of Nevuah, Nevuah shel Adonah Naviyim, Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu, there is a difference, there is a clear different flavor between the Ruach HaKodesh that created Torah Shebaktav and the type of Ruach HaKodesh that creates Torah Shebaal Peh. What does this mean? So Rav Kook, you skip down to the next paragraph, the underlying part. Ruach HaNevuah hu malei tiferes idealis. Ruach HaNevuah is filled with idealistic tiferes. Why tiferes? I'm not 100% sure, but it's something that is idealistic, grand, transcendent, above. Rav Yosef Avivi has an amazing series, Kabbalat HaAriyah, the Kabbalah of Rav Kook, and he takes these types of passages and many others and describes what Kabbalistic references Rav Kook is making and what stands behind these types of descriptions. But Ruach HaNevuah is filled with something idealistic, a higher level sphera. For Ruach Hilchati, the Ruach of Halacha, the Ruach of Torah Shebaal Peh, Malei Gevura Malchutit. It's filled with Gevura Malchutit. Gevura is a sphera. That is a midah of constriction, of constraining, of setting up boundaries. Malchutit, Malchus is the lowest of the spheros, the sphera that concretizes and practicalizes all of the oros that it receives from the higher level spheros. Ma'asit, and then it's practical. So these are clearly two different flavors, two different modalities, and yet they have to be unified. Tikkun ha'olam hu dafka kishem yachadim shnei rukos yachad. Now the tikkun of the world could only happen when we unify these two different rukos. And they both influence and are influenced by each other. So, what does this mean to unify Torah Shebaktav and Torah Shebaal Peh? What does it mean to unify the Ruach HaNevuah with the Ruach HaLacha? So, there are going to be different aspects of this. But today, Emirat Hashem, I want to focus on one aspect, which is not so Kabbalistic. It's not so spiritual, so to speak. It's not so experiential. It is more about the content of Sifrei Nevuah versus the content of Sifrei Halacha. The content of Sifrei Nevuah, Rav Kook is going to write, has to do with the klavim, the general principles of Yahdus, the general values that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us as individuals on a societal level and for the entire world. The Ruach Halacha, the Ruach HaTorah Shebaal Peh, the Mishnah and Gemara, deals much more on the level of details. You don't necessarily see the general values as much. It's much more detailed oriented. What is this person obligated to do in this situation? So it could be the next source is something that students of Rav Kook or people that are familiar with this Torah are familiar with, but I think it is a good way to frame and introduce the topic. So Amrita Shyam, we'll go through it, and then we'll see other then we'll see some other passages that are going to fill out the picture a little bit more. But the first piece is the essay Chacham Adif Minavi. The Talmud Chacham is greater than is preferable than the Navi, which is a phrase from the Gemara of Bava Basra. This is in the Zeronim section of the book Orot, Perek Beis. And this is where Rav Kook describes the different flavors of the of Torah Shebaal Peh, Torah Shebaktav, Torah Shebaktav, Torah Shebaal Peh, Nevuah, and Halacha as having to do with different time periods and having to do with Klalim versus Pratim and what we have to do in order to bring the two together. Rav Kook writes as follows. He doesn't start off with Am Yisrael, with Jewish society. He starts off with a regular culture. B'Olam, the way of the world, Hamshorim, the songwriters, the poets, the writers, the creative artistic people, they beautifully describe the splendor of life. That they could describe how beautiful a certain quarter of life, a certain activity, a certain thing is. They also could they could also describe the very vivid and capturing descriptions. How horrible certain aspects of human civilization, certain things that happen in the world are. But this is very general. So the picture is it's a vision that they're creating for you. It is moving. It's something that is that captures you. But at the same time, it is very general. But to pierce the individual factors, how so many individual factors come together to create that grand picture, that good grand picture, and how to stop the horrible picture. Those are not things for these poetic visionary people. That is more, Rav Kook says, for the economists, for the scientists, for the politicians, for people that know how to create a detailed plan, how to get from place A to place B. So as a mashal, I might have given this mashal before, is let's say how to describe what to do about a totalitarian regime. So on the one hand, you have George Orwell writes a book in 1984, which in very general terms captures how horrible it would be to live under such a type of totalitarian regime. But if the U.S. government wanted to create a plan in order to avoid that type of reality happening in America, or to bring down the Soviet Union, to weaken the Soviet Union, so then they're not going to speak to George Orwell. They're going to speak to the bureaucrats, the people that can they know how to make detailed plans in order to create or disband the vision that is created by the more artistic, visionary people in the society. And this is true in general. Let's say you think you have a certain some politicians are visionaries. They have a certain grand vision. We want society to have X. We want society to have Y. We want universal health care. We want freedom of X or whatever it is. They're not necessarily always the people to create the detailed plan to carry out that grand vision. So you need this chibur between the visionaries that are more artistically oriented, and create a vivid picture. And the people that know how to create detailed plans. Rav Kook writes, and Am Yisrael as well has these two kochos, has these two elements. The Nevi'im are like the romantic, artistic visionaries of our Jewish society, but they're not just coming from their own kochos. They are getting a vision directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is showing them what could life be like. How beautiful could life be if we as individuals and as a Jewish society and as a world followed the drachim of Hashem? And also, they are going to describe how horrible is a person's life, how horrible is a society, how horrible is the world if people are worshiping Avodah Zarah and people are not keeping basic moral principles. But if you read through Sifrei Nevuah, the visions that are created, the pictures that are created by their words are lofty, they're transcendent, they capture you, they move you, but they're also very general. You don't find details of how to create such a society. You find the Nevi'im talking about the great ideals and values of Judaism, Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem, and Mussar and proper interpersonal behavior. And you also find them talking on the flip side about the general moral depravities, both in terms of Avodah Zarah and in terms of, Rav Kook says, Ritzot Zdalim, Oshek Avyonim, taking advantage of the poor and taking advantage of the weak and things of that sort. And these psukim and these visions that the Sifrei Nevuah give us, they are inspirational. They inspired people, inspired people to make the world a better place since the time they were written. Some of the psukim are on the walls of the UN. But at the same time, as inspirational as these visions are, and how beautiful it is to focus on the general values of Judaism, at the same time, the Nevi'im utterly failed in their own mission, which was to help create a type of society. At the end of Bayis Rishon, the Nevi'im had been active for hundreds of years, and yet, what did they have to show for it? The Am Yisrael was acting the exact opposite of the vision that they were creating. Why? So Rav Kook's diagnosis is the small hairs from which in the aggregate you have these great sins, these small things, these things were hidden from the vision of the Navi. That you might walk back home from the shir of a Navi, who again obviously kept halacha, but what he focused on in his drashos, what he focused on in his teachings was his grand vision. You might come home on fire, in flames, with Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem and being a nice person, but you might start violating what's de-emphasized is Shmiras Halacha. So you might end up coming 10 minutes late to davening, if davening existed back then, or whatever the parallel would be. You might end up tying your right shoe before your left shoe. And then slowly but surely, once the structure of halacha is de-emphasized, so then slowly people are going to violate small things, and once people start violating small things, it's going to build on itself such that after centuries, you're going to have a society where people are violating everything. And the Nevi'im, it's not blaming the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im, due to the people, meaning because of who they were as people and the kohos Hashem gave them, they were focusing on the general values. So what happened? Am Yisrael went into Galus. The Bnei Yisrael came back in the beginning of Bayit Sheni. The Anshei Knesset of the Gedolah realized that the winds of Nevuah were on their way out. The spiritual tides of the world were changing, and Nevuah wasn't able to be successful on its own. So they shifted the emphasis from the Klalim, from the great values and principles of Judaism, to the Pratim, to the details of Halacha. And Rav Kook writes, "Chacham adav minavi," and the Chacham is greater, is was more he was greater in a certain sense than the Navi. The Nevi'im were unsuccessful in rooting out these basic evils from Am Yisrael, and the times in the Nevi'im, at the end of the times in the Nevi'im, Am Yisrael was violating all of the Klalim. That the halachic system that the Chachamim emphasized and developed even more was successful in creating a framework within which Am Yisrael lived in a very detailed way for generations. And now we don't have Avodah Zarah, and Jewish society is one that is filled, Baruch Hashem, with kindness and chesed and things of that sort. So what's the problem? Problem is the pendulum swung too much in the direction of the Pratim. Look at the last paragraph. Meshach Hazman Harav, in the passage of many years, Nisgaber Isdek HaChachamim al Isdek HaNavim, the people stopped remembering, stopped focusing on the fact that the halakhic details that they were studying and analyzing and living by were supposed to be reflective of the klalim, supposed to be reflective of the general values of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we find in Tanakh. And that might have been fine for the long galus. But what happens? In the end of times, when Nevuah is on its way back, when you start the assault of the Gula, the process of redemption is beginning with the return of Am Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Kook identified his own time period as the beginning or a watershed moment in this process. What's going to happen? Us sinas pratim tisgaber, and the hatred of the pratim is going to strengthen. Because Hashem is sending down different Hashemos into the world once Jews are coming back to Eretz Israel, and the Tahlich HaGula is happening. And these Hashemos are also not just connected by Yesheni Judaism with Torah Shebaal Peh, with Halakha, they're also connected with the type of Torah that was taught during Bayis Rishon, during in the Sifrei Nevuah. They want the Klalim, they want the great grand values of Yadus, the principles of Yadus, the great moralities of Yadus, the justice, the ethics, and everything of that sort. And what are they receiving in their chadarim? They're receiving Chumash Rashi and Shor Shana Kasapara and so many details of halacha, but they're saying that we want much more. We want a utopian reality. We want a reality. We want to be living our lives based on the grand principles They aren't finding that in traditional Orthodox Judaism. And therefore, what are they doing? They're leaving. They're sinas sapratim. They start hating halakha. They go, they went and they became communists or Bundists or Zionists, secular Zionists, and things of this sort. And they focus just on the Kalim, or Reform Jews, focus just on the Kalim, just on Sifrei Nevuah, and not on halakha. What's going to happen? What do we need? We need the ichud of these things. We can't give up on the pratim, of course, but we have to slowly reintegrate the Kalim and the general principles of Yados and Limud Tanakh into our Gemara learning, into our Limud Halacha, such that we can see how these things are interconnected, how the details of a sugya and halacha and the lumdus of a sugya and halacha is really reflective of and could point to and can help you fulfill or live by a general value of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that we find in Tanakh. Then Nevuah, until a point comes when Nevuah is going to be more fully developed. That when Nevuah is more mature, a more mature form of Nevuah comes into the world, you're going to be able to recognize the need for both the Kalim and the Pratim. And Moshe is going to come back to appear in the world. Why Moshe? Because Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Chamashi Chumash Torah, and it's the only sefer we have in Tanakh that has narrative and law, that has the general values of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, together with the details of halacha. The Aspakayar Me'ira, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was able to see how everything was interconnected, how there's mutual reinforcement. And if you have one without the other, you're only going to have a diminished form of Yados, a diminished form of Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu is a shaman and come back to the world, and the Torah of Mashiach, the Torah of Eretz Israel, is the ability to see the Pratim as reflective of reflecting the Kalim. And when you study the Kalim, to understand that in order to abide by them, in order to live by them, in order to live by, in order to fully understand them, you have to understand that they play out the Maaseh in the details of Halacha. And Rav Kook, this is a general theory or notion of Rav Kook, that the general values of Yados have to be have to be studied and have to be integrated into one's learning of Halacha and vice versa. And again, I don't want to go overboard with foils. But if you are familiar with the many writings, particularly the writings of Rav Soloveitchik, he would say that yes, of course you have to learn Tanakh. But on the other hand, you know the only way to build up a Jewish philosophy is from the details of halacha. It's not like you have the pratim, you have the kalim, you're supposed to see how they interact. The weight is much more on the details of halacha as the primary way of building up a philosophy, building up a worldview. Rav Kook is advocating for a more robust curriculum in Tanakh and a more robust cross-pollination between Limud HaTanakh and understanding what the general values of Yahadus are and the Pratim of Halacha. And when you do that, you'll be able to see how the two are mutually reinforcing. Now, if you look at the next source, Eretz Torah Yud Gimel Vav, this is where Rav Kook describes this type of learning as Torah's Eretz Israel. Rav Kook says, "Anu tzrichim l'sromeim l'osem adriga shel havanas haklalim u'klalei kolim." We have to elevate ourselves to that level of understanding the kolim, the general values, the general principles that are at hand, and the principles of the principles. "Fra pratim ba'atzoseyem yunis machim imam," and the details, when they are presented, they will be relied upon, they will lean upon the kolim. Everything has to be put in the proper context. So if you're learning Hilchos Tefillah, you're learning Hilchos Ishud, learning Masechus Kiddushin, learning Hilchos Bava Metzia, Mishnah's Bava Metzia, Gemara's Bava Metzia, whatever it is, figure out what are the general values at hand, what are the Prakim and Tanakh that are quoted by the Gemara, what are the Prakim and Tanakh that bear on this about in terms of how to create a good society looks like in terms of interpersonal dini mamonos issues, what a good relationship is in terms of Masechus Kiddushin. What should our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu be? What are all the tefillos and Tanakh, and see how the tefillos and Tanakh are reflected in the details of halacha, vilchos tefillah, and then the details are going to be seen as expressions of these general kolim. Zosiyam mitam yuchedesh etaras ha'arot Yisrael. This understanding, this presenting the pratim as expressions of the kolim, and how do you get to the kolim? Of course, todos through Limud Tanakh and through Sifrei Nevuah. That is the special midah of Torah's Eretz Israel. V'zehi mechulekes shel Chutz La'aretz, and that is how it is distinct from Torah's Chutz La'aretz. Again, we're not claiming in Chutz La'aretz there was a total binary, total split between Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat, But there was, in a certain sense, the split. I think in the Valuzhin, the Gemara all day, I think it was a chiddush of the Netziv, if I recall correctly, that he taught a chumash year on Friday mornings, like half an hour, or something of that sort. And the thought process and the learning was much more oriented towards Gemara and Halacha. So much so that I think Rav Soloveitchik, one of his Yahrzeit Shirim, he writes in the Yahrzeit Shir about Kedusha Shemus of Hashem, he talks about. That he always had this question: why do Sifrei Nevuah exist? Why do we need Nevi'im Achronim? Like, we understand why we need Halakha, we understand why we need Chumash, but why do we need Nevi'im Achronim? So, and he then he goes on to say we need Nevi'im Achronim because they're all reflective of different midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Shemos of Hashem, and part of and if there's a mitzvah of a lot of Hashem, so we have to follow Hashem's path. But then to get to that question of why do we need Sifrei Nevuah, I think it's based on certain assumptions about the primacy of halacha, of gemara, of Torah, of Torah Shabbat. And you also get the sense, the Brisker Rav's Perush HaChumash is all reading Chumash through a halachic lens, meaning Adam and Chava, they cover themselves when Hashem calls out because they had a Kolosheim Erva at that point, and therefore they have to cover themselves with what was we learned from Kol Tefillah, that when one is Omid the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it's only the Ashkina, they have to be properly covered. They have to have kisui erva and also a kisui of their chazeh. They have to have a shirt on, but at least kisui erva. So you're learning Tanakh through the lens of halacha and not learning the two things as no getting the prat the kolam from Tanakh, the pratim from halacha, then seeing how they interact and how they're reflective of each other. Rav Kook writes that because of this, Talmid Chacham of Eretz Yisrael, if you look at after the ellipses, after the underlying part, the Davka Mifnei Talmid Chacham of Eretz Yisrael Hinam Mechanim Also Samal Ani Sa'at. Talmid Chacham of Eretz Yisrael, some of them are ready for this type of level of learning, of understanding the Klalim and the Pratim, and learning them all together. Alkein Kol Zman Shem Einam Akirim Es Ma'asam Ramima Ve'Einam Olim Eileha V'Chafitzim Liros Mitznagdim Ba'arkos Drishas Torah Rak B'Darach Uyelav Nechutz La'aretz Heim Na'asim Matanim V'Yerudim. What could be very frustrating for a Talmid Chacham in Eretz Yisrael is that if a Talmid Chacham in Eretz Yisrael has a desire, has an intuition to learn Torah this way, but he's always looking over his shoulder and he's looking at the way he was trained, which is just to learn the Pratim, and to not just to focus mainly on the Pratim, that is going to be an extremely frustrating experience for this Talmid Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, whose neshama wants him to learn Torah as Eretz Yisrael, but he is going to end up being frustrated and weak and depressed. Because he is trying to fit himself into a model that was proper for Chutz La'aretz, but not proper for his new setting of Eretz Yisrael. Similarly, look in the next piece. I wrote the Tzchiyah Perek Nun. Rav Kook writes, and just look at the underlying part. The galus nifredu at te'umim. We're talking about Torah Shebuksav and Torah Shebapeh. In galus, these te'umim of Torah Shebuksav and Torah Shebapeh, these twins were split. This Al-Sa Torah Shebuksav L'morme Kachah. The Torah Shebuksav Kilo went up to Shemayim. It was understudied, underdeveloped. The main curriculum of the yeshivos was Gemara and Halacha. V'yor the Torah Shebaal Peh Be'im HaKetaktis. And Torah Shebaal Peh went to the depths. Meaning once you Torah Shebuksav goes up to Shemayim and is not so studied, and at least if it is studied, it's not always studied in the context or in relation to a Torah Shebaal Peh, so then you have the split between Shemayim and Aretz. So you have the split between the Kalam and the Pratim. So the Kladim are not studied as much, and the Pratim go down the Emek Taktis, they go down, they just become details, and they aren't appreciated as ways of expressing the values of Yadus. Mikol Makom, he mekabelas Yinikach HaShait, and that Rav Kook describes, even in Chutz La'aretz, there is this Yinikach HaShait, this secret nourishment of Torah Shebaal Peh from Torah Shebaal Ksav, and as we get closer to the Geula, we need to unify these things much more consciously. I think before we go on, I think two people that think of halacha in this way or describe halacha in this way. Number one is Rav Melamed in his Pnimei Halacha series. He starts off he I think in his Hakdamah, he's very consciously using or borrowing parts of the methodology of Rav Kook's Toras Eretz Yisrael of what halacha is and what halacha means. Therefore, each section starts off with a kolam, starts off with the general picture of what is this, what are the values at hand of this area of halacha, be it family life or nezikin or whatever, or tefillah, whatever else he talks about. And from there, he presents the details of halacha. So that it's viewing halacha is in this context, in the context of the klalim that are there, that I think is an explicit goal of Pnimei Halacha. If it's not explicit, then I think it's pretty clear that it's implicit. But I think it is explicit in his Hakdamah. And also Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, if you've, you know, read the book Radical Then, Radical Now, he has a chapter called Truth Lived. And the way he understands the role of halakha within Judaism is halakha is living out the truths of Tanakh. He spends a lot of time describing the general values, the general principles of Yados in as based on Tanakh, mostly on Tanakh, and you know, some Tarshish B'Av as well, but a lot of Tanakh. And then he has a chapter called Truth Lived, that halakha is what gets you to live out and understand and consciously, you know, internalize these values. That's very different than saying that whenever I approach a topic, I have to start from the bottom up, start with the details of halakha. That is my ground zero. That is where I start from, and from there I develop my philosophy. But my main learning is going to be just as my primary learning is going to be Gemara and halakha, and it may not even always look up the psukim or look up the prakim and Tanakh that are being described, that are being quoted in the Gemara. Also, there's a lot more to be said here. If you want to, I guess, counter examples from the thought of traditional, I guess, Litvish, Misnagdish, Rosh Yeshiva, I can send them to you if you reach out to me. That's one. I don't want to go through examples right now, but there are counter examples to the to this theory of Rav Kook. And also it bears to mention that the Nazir, Rav Nazir, the Rav David Cohen, Talmid of Rav Kook, who organized Arutz HaKodesh and was a major one of the major editors and organizers of Rav Kook's thoughts, he at some point was obsessed with, maybe obsessed is too strong of a word, is very interested in Midrashei Halacha. Why? Because Midrashei Halacha is this transition point between Torah Shebaktav and Torah Shebaalpeh. That at the early stages of the Tanayim, the early stages of Torah Shebaalpeh, even though the Nevuah wasn't there, they were able to, based on their knowledge of Kol Torah Kula and certain midos of a drash that Hashem gave us, which aren't purely logical. They're not Greek Western and purely logical, as he says. They're not deductive. They're inductive. They're more intuition based. Klal Prado Klal and Hekesh and all these things, which you know, sometimes you follow the rules, sometimes you don't follow the rules. They're very hard to pin down exactly what the rules are. And they're often skipped when people are learning Gemara. I mean, who learns the first couple d'apim of Merubah and the Tosafim there that deal with drashos? But the Nazir argue that this is the transition point between Torah Shebaktav and Torah Shebaalpeh, and therefore da'afka b'zman hazeh, we need to understand the drashos and focus on drashos a lot in order to understand how you get from Torah Shebaktav to Torah Shebaalpeh and how to learn each one in light of the other. So that is the Nazir. There's a book called Nevuah. It talks about Higyon Ivri Shim'i, Jewish logic that is based on Shmi'ah and being attentive and listening, which is not deductive, it's inductive, it's very intuition-based, it's based on your understanding of the whole gestalt with certain real rules, versus the Higyon, versus a Western logic, which is, you know, purely, I hope I'm getting these words right, purely deductive, where you don't need intuition, everything has to be proven. And that is very far from the world of Nevuah. But this Higyon Ivri, which is expressed through the Midos HaDrash, that is a transition point between Torah Shebaktav and Torah Shebaalpeh, between Sifrei Nevuah and Sifrei Halacha. Rav Kook, similarly, describes this not just in terms of theoretical Talmud Torah, but also in terms of Pesach. The in his Hakdamah to Einayah, Rav Kook cites a Pesach that when you have a shaila in halacha, you don't know what to do, and where does the Torah tell you to go? Go to the Kohanim, Levi'im, and the Shofet that are there in those days. So the halacha, we don't say the Kohanim and Levi'im, we say the Shofet, it's a Sanhedrin. So why are Kohanim and Levi'im mentioned in this pasuk? I'm forgetting all the Rishonim. If you look at the Rishonim there, some of them say because Kohanim and Levi'im, they're the ones who are able to learn. They're the ones who have time to learn. So Manaslam, they're the ones who are going to be sitting on the Sanhedrin. But Ashofet Hashiyah B'Yamim is really what you're really the central authority of Halacha, the Posek, is the Shofet. As many of you, I'm sure, are aware, the Netziv in his Hakdamah to Hamek Sha'ala, Kidemas Ha'imek, I think it's called, he develops a larger theory about Halacha and Torah from this. That Kohanim and Levi'im represent one modality, one methodology of Pesach, and Shofet represents a different methodology of Pesach. Rav Kook is drawing from the Netziv, maybe he intuited on his own, but it's a similar pshat to the Netziv, but it takes him in a different direction. I don't want to do the comparison now, but just see what Rav Kook says. Rav Kook says, if you see that Kohanim and Levi'im and Shoftim represent two different ways of Paschim and Shavuos. Amnam, Mishmatei HaTorah HaPratiyim, Efshar Shiyu Nechtachim, Apil Ruach HaKalei Shal Torah. you have a shayla and a detail of halacha, one approach is going that it's going to be nechta. He's going to be able to paskin based on the general spirit of the Torah. Api kolak ta'amei Torah, hamatim le'musar klalisha b'Torah. Do you have a general understanding, an overall understanding of your knowledge of Kol Torah Kula, that this is what the Torah stands for, and then you're going to be able to paskin a particular shayla in light of that. Again, you're not going to abandon halachic precedent. You're not going to abandon being medam b'milsa b'milsa, but the general values are going to be more in the forefront of your mind when you are paskining a shayla. Asher gamkin le'natziach ha'pratim mi'akolim. You could also just focus on the details. You don't have to look at the general values of the Torah. Just look. You want to know, is a bicycle mitzvah asar on Shabbos? Is a new crock pot mitzvah asar on Shabbos? So one approach is to be medam the milsa lemosa. You could what type of medieval oven, what type of medieval hatmana system, what type of Talmudic oven is a crock pot similar to? And therefore, you medam the milsa lemosa, and you come up with what you have to do to be able to use a crock pot on Shabbos. The other approach is to look more at the Ruach HaKali of Shabbos. What is the general spirit of Shabbos that we're trying to accomplish? What is the value behind Shabbos? What is the spirit of Shabbos? And it takes a lot of intuition. It's much more amorphous. It's much more dangerous. Rav Kook says that is the Derech HaPsak of the Kohen. That's what was happening during Bais Rishon to a large degree. The Nesiv also says that. And the Kohen is the one who is in touch with the Urim V'Tumim. He's in the Beis HaMikdash. He has the Ruach HaLokem. He's able to intuit what the right halacha should be based on the Urim V'Tumim and straight up Nevuah, but also, Rav Kook describes, based on the Ruach HaKlali Shel HaTorah. Kolak Tamei Torah Matim LaMusar Klali Shel HaTorah. It's not just, the Urim V'Tumim tells you the answer. The answer has to be in touch, in lines, in the forefront of the Kohen's mind is going to be the Musar Klali Shel HaTorah. The Shofet does what the Gemara does what Noah Mishnayos do, what Poskim do, Adayam Mazat, which is being Medama Milsa and Milsa on a very, very Pratius Dika level. So Rav Kook here describes in Bayis Rishon versus Bayis Sheni, these are the two methodologies, but Bayis Shlishi is supposed to be a synthesis between the two. And Rav Kook doesn't just describe this in terms of learning methodology in the Beis Medrash, how to learn Gemara and Halacha. You have to learn Tanakh together with it, and figure out the Kolamar, and the Kolam and the Pratim should be interconnected. And it's not just, and no, it's also not just in Psak, it's also in practical life. When you view Torah in this way, and you view Halacha in this way, it is going to be much more meaningful to be able to keep it. And that's what Rav Kook writes in Orot HaMitzvot. This is not something Rav Kook himself published. I think Rav Tzuriel, I think it's where I found this. Rav Tzuriel in his Otzros HaRi'ia, he published a previously unpublished, I think it was previously unpublished. I'm not sure about the history of this, but I think it was a previously unpublished a section of a notebook or a kuntres from Rav Kook, Oros HaMitzvos. And Rav Kook writes there as follows: Kol mitzvah, kol din, kol minog Yisrael, every single mitzvah, every single halacha, every single minog, karnei ora shel shetef noam meluki shel musar elyon shel kedusha v'tara zulef meno tamid. There is so much pleasantness, so much light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is embedded in every single detail of halacha. Aval masay yehusha yafeh. But what are mitzvos? When is halacha going to feel beautiful? Only kishaura kolis sofia, when the general light appears. Kishadasi ados bekodras nishmasap nimis tivkavitalem meom koshal Torah. When Rav Kook here describes that when the general light appears and when the light emanates from the neshama, a certain subjectivity, a certain intuition. So that, God willing, we're going to focus on in a different shir. But kishora klalis sofia, when the general light of Torah appears, that's when you can start understanding maybe what the tamei mitzvos are of certain halachos. You could cluster them together, and then you could start contextualizing specific details of halacha within a broader framework, and that is going to create a much more meaningful experience, much more beautiful experience of Shmiras Halacha, according to Rav Kook. So Rav Kook wants this ichud between Kalim and Pratim, between Torah Shavuot and Torah Shabbat, and one aspect of that is Kalim and Pratim, both in terms of learning methodology. In the Beis Medrash, when you're learning Gemara, you should be learning a lot of Tanakh as well, and figuring out the Prakim and Tanakh that are relevant, the general values therein, and seeing how the two interact. In terms of Psak Halacha, again, how practical is this in the thought of Rav Kook is a discussion, but in terms of Rav Kook definitely describes it in theory, at least, in terms of Psak Halacha. And number three, in terms of practical observance of Halacha, I'm viewing Halachos as expressions of broader principles, broader values, is something that is going to make Halacha yafeh and no'am and filled with light, as opposed to just viewing the details, as the rules of science, as laws of gravity, which is not necessarily going to get you to the same Yafa, same Noam of Shmiras Halacha. Again, Again, this approach also has its dangers because the general principles are much more malleable. They're much more amorphous. They're much more, you could say, sometimes you could say what you want. It's much easier to debate what they actually are. And therefore, if Koch describes how you need to have a certain element of Ruach HaKodesh, you need Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, you need the Avodah of Eretz Yisrael to do this properly. And as you get closer to Mashiach, it's supposed to become increasingly relevant in terms of the way that we learn. So there are dangers, there are advantages, there are other approaches. Feel free to follow up with me, and I would love to continue this conversation. But this is one aspect of Torah's Eretz Yisrael of the Yichud between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh, between the Klalim and the Pratim. Thank you so much. I hope you have a great day. Kol tov.